Welcome back to my podcast for this week. Today we have a very special guest.
Hello.
It's Miss Mia Lorelai.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming.
Again.
Literally.
Guys, we have to tell you a funny story before we get into this.
Yeah.
Basically, me and Mia had greatest conversation of our lives. When was that?
It was Sunday.
And we hit all the talking points. I was like, wow, I really articulated what I wanted to say about everything. And then Mia's like, all right, sick. I'm going to go through the footage and like let you know how everything is. It shouldn't have a problem, but I'll let you know how it goes. Passing the mic to you. What happened next?
My mic died.
Yeah, dot, dot, dot.
And I was really sad because I was like, oh my gosh, it was such a good conversation.
It's okay.
And then she died, and it literally died when we were talking about Mia's music.
And Who, me?
Yes!
But it's okay because it's meant to be, and we're going to have an even better conversation.
Yes.
And we're going to talk. I mean, the conversation will be different naturally.
I'm excited.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Should we talk about how we met?
Oh, yes.
You want to say how we met?
Sure. Okay. This is good, actually, because now I like my memories refreshed a little bit. So basically, if you don't know, me and Mia both go to Fordham University. Go Rams.
Go Rams.
And since everybody's so techie these days, like there's a bunch of class of whatever class. So like 2026 was us.
Yeah.
So they made a little Instagram page. Wait. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, okay. Technically this class page, but then out of this class page, like branched off this huge group chat of all the girls that you can imagine. I think the max there, and it wasn't even just one group chat. It was one group chat with basically the same people on iMessage, Snapchat, and Instagram. Yeah. But also some of them were like slightly different.
Yeah. There was like,
I don't really understand
the Snapchat one.
I think.
Yeah.
But Mia and her roommate at the time were added to the Instagram one, I think. So yeah, Mia and her roommate at the time were added to this huge Instagram group chat. And everybody was just like following everybody. And then I'm sure we bonded over having the same name or something. But then we realized we had much more in common than that. First of all, we're both Tauruses. Mm-hmm. Shout out. And then I found out my moon is, I'm a Libra moon.
You're a Libra and Pisces. Wait, what's your rising?
Leo.
Oh my god, I'm a Leo rising.
Oh my god!
Oh my god, I never do that.
That's so funny. One of my roommates, like, she was in my room and I was showing her something that I was working on today. But, besides the point. Then she randomly was like, well, I need to see your astrological chart right now. And she was like, reading it. She knows so much about it. It was crazy. Aww. But anyway. Yes, we're both Tauruses. And then I found out that Mia at the time was living on Oahu.
Yes.
And
shout out to Hawaii.
My mom grew up on Oahu for a good portion of her upbringing. And then I visited over that summer, and then we almost hung out, but then like, we didn't.
This close.
But then we got to hang out all year, but we literally didn't hang out until the beginning of this year.
It's like second semester?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be fair, like, I honestly didn't hang out with a lot of the friends, because I was in the business school when I came into Fordham. I learned the hard way, but that's okay. But I definitely met so many people at the beginning of the second semester when I was actually with my crew and such. But yeah, so we met through school, but also through our sisterly bond.
Yeah.
And now you're all caught up to speed.
Wait, tell us more about Gabelli.
Oh boy. Okay, so basically, no hate to business school. It's great for the people who it's meant for. Mm-hmm. It's just very, very, rigorous. And I applied to like all of the colleges that I went to through whatever marketing program that they had, because I'm like very interested in like marketing and analytics, definitely more on the creative side and like design, like crossover intersections of marketing, which I didn't realize that the Fordham Business School was just like I'm sure like down the like
with your concentration
sure with concentrations and by like junior year it would definitely be more marketing, but it was Well, like one of the classes I had was called Ground Floor
Oh my
of
God.
Business. And so it was literally everything and anything you can imagine. And I was in microeconomics, macroeconomics, a finite math class, and then theology because we go to a Jesuit university. But quickly learned, like within the first couple of weeks of school, that probably wasn't the place for me. And shout out to my advisor. Because I literally walked in. We had to do like one-on-one
Oh
meetings with
yeah,
him.
those at the beginning of the year.
Yes. And honestly, thank God, because we did those. And then I like came back probably a week after that. And then I was like, hey. And he was like asking about like if I've been like applying to clubs or like whatever. And then I was like, hey, so how do I switch out of the business school? And I thought I was like fully prepared and came ready to like fight. And then he was like, oh, here's what you have to do. And just like fully gave me like the step-by-step list that I had to do. I was like, oh, sick. And he's like, yeah, I could tell in the one-on-one meeting that you weren't really,
No,
you're not a
weren't
good
feeling
belly girl.
it.
So luckily I got to switch out after the first semester. I know a lot of people who are like the year above us, who I was talking to at the time, did like a full first year of good
Oh, and
belly.
then they switch.
Yeah,
Yeah.
which makes me like it is annoying because a lot of my credits didn't like directly transfer because like why would any of a business class like check off any.
Didn't was it macro transferred as social
I
science
yeah, I
or
think
micro?
so. But like
That's
I
like still.
think like three of my classes were just elective credits, which is nice, but
Oh,
I already had a bunch of elective credits coming
yeah.
in. So I was like, oh, those are all my fun classes that I like were
Yeah.
spent on business classes, but it's fine. But honestly, it was a learning experience, and well, this is a good transition because I didn't realize how much I've been always playing the guitar and doing everything and all my music and creative stuff. Like it's
Yeah.
just always like something in my like routine that I'm doing. But I didn't realize how much I loved playing the guitar and making music until I had zero time to do it. And I have this vivid memory of sitting at my desk with and my roommate's desk was right next to mine in like the configuration of our room. And we were both doing homework, except I was sitting there taking notes on microeconomics that took me like 2 hours to do while she was to my right, peacefully collaging for her design class. And that was my sign. That was my last straw. And I got quickly out of there.
Yay.
But then it kind of, like, as I mentioned, it made me realize how much music was important to my life. And then like in my free time, I would always like start crafting drafts for like set lists or EPs out of like the songs that I had made over like the last year, which came like into fruition, which is crazy. But that was kind of like there was a light at the end of the tunnel once I like sent in my transfer application. I was like, the end is near, and all
End is
the end
near.
is near, and like all my fun creative stuff was helping me get through it while I was still
Wait.
finishing it up.
Wait, so with Gabelli, you have to like actually have a transfer like application to like
Yeah,
regular
because since it's technically like different colleges within our like
Florida.
school, I had to like internal tra not like a full-on application, but I
Oh.
had to like tran or yeah, I had a it was I think it was the application to transfer into FCLC, which is Fordham College Lincoln Center, in case you don't know. And I know it's a lot harder to switch into Gabelli since it's more
Yeah.
selective,
Yeah.
but
That's what a lot of people say. They were like, this one girl, she's in my advanced history class right now, and she's trying to switch into Gabelli because her major's economics. And then she was like, they literally don't have any slots left.
Yeah, it's
Like,
crazy.
I was like, what do you mean you
They
don't have
usually, I
slots?
think for per class, they usually only have like 200 or 300 kids, and our campus is small, but
Yeah.
like that's not a lot of
Yeah,
people.
that's not a
And
lot.
then especially I know sophomore year they do this thing called where they have cohorts,
I like consulting.
and they're all same people in all of your
Yeah.
classes.
Shout out low key to my Gabelli friends because
You
I
are
hear
strong.
you guys are strong because I cannot have the same class with the
Persevere.
same people
Yeah.
like for a whole sem is it, I don't know, is it a semester or a year? Do they do that?
It may be semester since like
Okay.
we reapply or we like
Oh,
apply for the
true.
new classes.
You
But
guys are
it could be
strong.
wrong. It could be the whole year. Who
They're
knows?
strong for that because me personally, I'm like, if I see the same face for like what five classes, I'm like, yeah, I couldn't do it.
That's so
I need like
funny.
new, fresh, like what's those people called when they're like school friends, like you know, like
I thought you were gonna
people.
say class crushes.
Well, that too.
You
If like if there's no one cute in my cohort, like if I was a good belly and there was like no cute
need that
guys,
motivation to
yeah, I
get
need
to
like the
wake up and get to
motivation.
class every
Like
day.
this is, but yeah, good belly is no shade to good belly because you guys are like strong people, but
It's truly for the people. You have to be
yeah.
committed, and honestly, people have described it as kind of like the first year is like the test run to see if you're fit for Gabelli,
Yeah.
which clearly I was not. But yeah,
No, and like
it's
the
a
whole,
great program for people
yeah,
who want to succeed in that area.
area
If
of
like if your
life.
career is in the corporate world or the economics world, it's a
Yeah.
great program.
I can like go on a whole rant about Gabelli, but I won't because
It doesn't
I
deserve this much of our
don't.
time.
No. We're not even like in the school. Like we shouldn't talk about that much.
True.
But yeah, so we're gonna talk about Mia's music because that's worth our time, okay?
Yeah.
Ah, it's not my dad. So, what is the origins of the love, your love for your music?
Yes. So I was raised around lots of music. I can't remember a time when I wasn't consuming music from my family or singing around the house, or I actually can remember the first time I wrote my first song ever, and I think I was 7 or 8, and I can picture vividly where I was. So I was in my room, and at the time there was like a white like rocking chair little couch thing. I shouldn't have eaten dinner before this. Okay, I had a little pizza. But I could vividly picture it was like this couch rocking chair, and my older cousin was sitting on it. She's like 5 months older than me, so we're basically sisters.
Yeah, like
She's the
twins.
best. And I had my little iPad, probably, or maybe it was on her iPad, her mini iPad, and it was basically a ripoff of Girls Just Want to Have Fun, but it wasn't because it was original by me. So anyway, sidetrack. My love of music. Last time I mentioned how kind of similar to how your native language, you
Yeah.
like don't know anything different and you don't remember when you started learning it because you just always knew it. I think that's very analogous. I don't know if that's a
Yeah.
word. I think it
It's gonna be
is.
a word today.
Okay. I think it's a good representation of my relationship to music. But I grew up going to a bunch of concerts with my dad, and I like to from a musician perspective, I like to categorize my not friends, but just like people in general as there's like people who listen to music just like kind of because they enjoy it, and then there's people who appreciate music,
Yeah.
which we need. I was talking to somebody last night that I met at this little open mic. We were talking about how we need the music appreciators
Yeah.
because they may not understand why they like a song, but they know when it's good and like they know that they're feeling something. And then obviously musicians kind of view music differently.
Yeah.
But my family is definitely very big music appreciators,
Oh.
and my dad collects vinyl, and I was raised on like R&B, soul, jazz. My middle name, Lorelai, was named after an Ella Fitzgerald cover of the song Lorelai.
That's so cute. And then you're like,
So,
oh my God.
so that was, I mean, it was meant to be, truly.
Yay.
Well, both my parents, but I know my dad is very, very into Ella and Louis, so he kind of wrote it down before, and then I just had to live it out. But that's like upbringing regarding music. And then I kind of briefly mentioned, well, okay, let me fill in the gap between the Gabelli and the upbringing. So I have always been like filming covers and posting them on like Instagram when I like started learning how to. I started My first instrument that I learned how to play was the ukulele in the 5th grade. And I took lessons for 3 years. And then I kind of took what I knew from that and translated it and taught myself how to play the guitar. So then that was like 2020 era that I really, really started playing the guitar every day. My dad had an electric guitar that I would always like play random covers on in the years prior to that. But 2020, as for most of us, was really a time to hone in on any skill. So that was, I was playing the guitar every second of every day, especially during online school. It was in arm's reach at all times. And then, well, actually, before that, my freshman year, which would have been like 2018 high school, I like actually started songwriting for the first time. And it kind of felt silly at first because I was like, it's like every stereotype that you hear about people like talking bad about songwriters. Not like it's not a common thing, but for some reason, I was like convincing myself that it was a very weird outlet for me to be like approaching. But I loved writing. I have had a little blog on my website since 2017, which is crazy. So I kind of knew that I liked expressing myself through that form, but then I was like, wait, let me just give it a whirl. So I wrote a little song. I think that I was still writing them on the ukulele at this point. And then 2020 is when the big shift
The
happened.
guitar.
Yeah. And
Oh
then I also taught myself how to play the piano at this time.
my God.
So I
Wait, you taught
was,
yourself?
yes. Shout out,
Dude, how
well,
did you do
shout out YouTube because I would hyperfixate on like one video and then my family had to
What?
listen to me play it over and over
Oh
again.
my God.
But now I know how to play the piano. And yeah, I didn't really. I mean, as I mentioned, even like coming into college, I didn't really. I mean, I had always dreamed of having some sort of like one of my alternate like pathways of life could be like pursuing music. But it felt very like far and distant and something that like I was like, I have no idea how that's gonna happen, but maybe it'll happen down the line. And then Gabelli happened. So honestly, shout out Gabelli. But going back to my sweet, sweet old roommate, Katie, she would always hear me playing the guitar, even though I had no time. In the time that I did fit in, she would always tell me, she's like, Mia, I will do anything for you to have music out. And I'm like, you don't understand. Like, it's not that easy. And then I did a little research. I was like, let me take this matter into my own hands. And then I found like a few online distributors that I'd never kind of, I'd heard a little bit about them, but I'd never researched that much into it. And then I was like, okay, it's a little bit easier than I thought it was. So, as I mentioned in my Gabelli transition process, I was doing lots of like drafting and brainstorming, which eventually led to me planning and recording my debut EP, which came out in March, which was really fun. And
It was
I
amazing, guys, by the
thank you, thank you,
way.
thank
Go
you.
listen.
Yes,
If you haven't already,
stream All That's
go
Left Is a
re-listen.
Lifetime. And I self-produced it. I mixed it. I mastered it as well as I could.
It's good, so good for you.
Thanks.
It's really
But I'd like kind of been looking for producers for like a year and a half before that.
good.
But when I was like in my hometown, there obviously was just like not that many music people.
I would expect more in California,
There
like
definitely is in California, but just like in my hometown in
well,
general and
yeah.
like my little
Indiana.
suburbia, there wasn't like many people who, luckily, like last summer, 2022, I started finding more like music people, which was very nice and fun to have that connection before I like came here. But I produced it myself, and after all that, those songs came out, I got like so many awesome opportunities to perform, which led me my first show, I met my current producer, and we did a song that just came out in August. But it's been such a fun journey. And Mia got to come to some. I did a bunch of like,
Oh my God, they were so
I did a bunch
cute
of, yeah, like little live sets
in
right before the EP came out and leading up to it. And then I had like a little listening party, pajama party. I love, I mean, sometimes I convince myself that it's like not that big of a deal, but then having little fun events like that, I'm like, it doesn't matter if it's a big deal or not, because it can just be fun and it means a lot to me. So
it's
like,
so worth it. And yeah, like, I love coming to support you. Like,
thanks.
To see you like blossom and everything. Aww. It's like so beautiful.
Thanks.
I need to come to one of your shows,
like, guys.
I need to.
There is a few that are on the horizon.
Yay! So. Is it the same place as last time?
Which last time?
It was like Brooklyn, right?
Yes. Okay. I'm in talks of doing another show in Bushwick, possibly in November. So, I mean, this is obviously going to be out by then. So, if you guys are free in November, clear your schedules. And then there's a few, there's like an open mic that I might go to, which is also in Brooklyn, but it's Greenpoint. Mm-hmm. So, it's a little bit closer. But yes, I love performing. It's so fun. And it's definitely a fun medium too. Like, obviously making music is its own thing, but then performing it for people, and like, obviously a very produced song is going to sound different than how you originally wrote it on the acoustic guitar. So that's
especially
been,
like, you're performing it for people who like support you.
Like, it's
you as a person and your music. It's like so like refreshing.
It's,
you know?
I was one of the big things that I mentioned last time was how having this project has made me like, I finally have something that's kind of like, I've created something that's bigger than myself. I was trying to articulate last time, but kind of how I've like poured so much of myself into this, but now it's out in the world and like other people are consuming it, and it's obviously like something that I made, but it's something that people like actively will come to support, and it feels like I kind of have to like detach myself from it, even though I made it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, I get it.
But it's like such an awesome feeling for everybody to like come and support something that I have worked so hard towards, especially on like the creative side of things. Like, I over the summer made a music video for my song that came out in August.
So cute. I loved it.
Thank you.
I watched it, guys. Go watch it.
But I directed it. I edited it. I color graded it, which was really throwing me back to my YouTube roots, which I was really enjoying. But yeah, I did like a bunch of storyboarding for it too.
How long did it take to edit? Oh my God.
It took me. So, okay. Here's the breakdown. Basically, I knew. So I have a friend who is currently studying film production back at home. And she had texted me about making a music video like earlier in the year before I even had, before the song was even written. And I was like, oh my gosh, that'd be so fun. But I don't want to do a music video for any of the songs on the EP, because the music people will understand, like, once you have a project and by the time it's like out and you've been listening to it for months, you're kind of like, okay, I'm moving past that, like, that's done, and I'm glad that it's out, but like, usually I already sonically identify differently by the time that a project is out. So by the time that this new song rolled around, I texted her again and I was like, you remember when you said you wanted to make a music video? And I started storyboarding. I used to really be into, I mean, I'm still into like films and directing and stuff, but I used to want to be a director for a good year or so of my life in like end of middle school. So I was, those roots were really showing. And yeah, I had like a whole, I knew, like, I knew exactly what I wanted it to look like. So I was like location scouting, and then I picked out my outfit. And a bunch of my close friends got to help me with it, which was really fun. But it took me like a month to edit it, but it was kind of like spread out, and I like was constantly re-editing it to a point where like I could have had it done sooner, but something creatively that it's interesting to explore and that I'm learning is how to like have a set deadline, even though, because obviously your creative projects don't have like deadlines set by other people, so learning when to like stop touching something. Because I'm very much a perfectionist, and this is very much is applying to the current music project that I'm working on. I kind of am practicing, like, you kind of have to make deadlines for yourself.
Yeah.
because
it grounds you.
You're constantly changing. If you're trying to perfect it and perfect it while you're changing, it's never gonna end, and yeah. it's just gonna be something
like a cycle just keeps going.
Yeah, and then it's never gonna come out. So I like to think of it as like representations of certain like chapters, which is helpful because mm-hmm. then I kind of am like, okay, based on like events in my life, it's easier to like
yeah
chapter and section them off that way. But that was super fun to make. So yeah.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
So so I'm wondering how has, well, we kind of like answered the mm-hmm. West Coast and like your background and everything. Mm-hmm. So I guess we can move on to like the difference of like writing music and doing music on the West Coast mm-hmm. and then now on the East Coast. Yeah. Like how has that like affected you?
Yes. So when I first, like the first trip I took back home after being in New York for 2 months, even though it sounds 2 months doesn't sound like that long time, mm-hmm. New York basically is like dog years.
Yeah.
Where you're like really 1 year old, but it's actually 7 years. Yeah. And the first time I came home, I didn't realize, this is kind of expands beyond music, but I didn't realize that at the time there was kind of like California Mia and New York Mia until I sat down on that airplane on the way home and I was like, oh my God. It's like I have two lives that are simultaneously going on right now, and having to wrap my head around the fact that like all the people in both of those lives were living, whether I was there or not, like just living their lives, was something that was crazy. And then music wise, I kind of, at least at the beginning of like a year ago, things were definitely more distinct whether I was in California or New York. And it was kind of like I would write like more slow songs and like more like wistful whatever songs in California, which I feel like fits the chill California vibe. And then New York, and when I would come back, I would write like upbeat rocky songs. But now that I've been back and forth quite a few times, I think I'm better at maintaining the same identity no matter where I am, which creatively definitely is a lot more helpful, because then I don't have to like, that's kind of not true, because I wrote a bunch of songs at the end of the summer, and then I've been drafting this little project that I've been mentioning. She must not be named on the DL, but I kind of like knew that I was going to write a lot more songs when I came to New York. So I was like, I have this whole project drafted, but also I don't want to like commit to this because I know I'm going to write more songs when I come back to New York. And now like 3 out of 5 songs are like written here. So I definitely still write differently in both places, but for overall, I think they're kind of merging into one and just following me wherever I go.
That's good. That's good that you have like you're realizing that instead of like
trying to like
and trying to like,
I mean it can be fun to lean into it sometimes, but also but
like, that's where you grew up, you know?
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Go back to your roots.
I'll always be a California girl.
That's so cute, dude. I want to like, I always wanted to like live in California.
One of your sister?
Yeah, she lives in San Diego.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know what part. What part do you live in?
I'm in like a little suburb. That's.
Are you like near like La Jolla?
That's like La Jolla. I was born in La Jolla. I was born in La Jolla. I'm like 30 minutes from there.
I butchered it so bad.
Everybody does. It's fine. I have a vivid memory of being in kindergarten, and one of the girls was, I don't remember why she was talking about La Jolla, but to the teacher, she was like, yeah, my parents were in La Jolla. And then the teacher was like, it's La Jolla. And she's like, I think I would know that it's La Jolla. This full kindergartner thinking she knows more than this adult.
Because you see San Diego's over there, right?
That's where my parents went. That's where they met. When I was growing up, when people would ask me, because why normalize not asking kids where they want to go to school since elementary school.
Yeah.
Like, hello. Anyway. Yeah. So whenever people would ask me that, I'd be like, oh, like maybe I want to go to UCSD because that's where my parents went. And then as I got closer and closer to the college application process, I was like, oh, don't think I'm going to UCSD.
Wait, did you apply at least?
I didn't apply to any UC schools, but UCSD is very like engineering, like computer science, data science.
When I went there, like, I was so intimidated. I was, like, in, like, the science department
mm-hmm.
area.
It's really beautiful, though, because it's, like, right by the beach.
Yeah.
One of my friends goes there, and I've dropped him off there a couple times, and it's gorgeous.
Yeah. But I didn't know you didn't apply to any of the UCs.
I did not. Well, because I was, like...
Irvine or, like...
I was, like, it's Berkeley. New York or nowhere.
True.
I applied to 6 or 5 schools in New York.
Which schools?
I applied to Fordham, mm-hmm. and Fordham was my top school.
Same. So, oh my god, you're like the only other person I know.
Really?
Yeah.
Feeling grateful.
Everyone else was like, NYU.
Yeah, so I applied to NYU, and it was mostly like, because I wanted to go to NYU at the end of middle school, beginning of high school, and okay, if I don't apply, I won't. Well, okay, I wasn't gonna apply, and then I was kind of talking to my mom about it, and she was telling me if I don't apply, I'm never going to know if I would get in. And then there'd kind of be this, like, I'd never know ever. Morning. And it's like,
yeah.
And then, so yeah, I applied to NYU, got rejected. And that's okay because I'm here. And then I applied to FIT, mm-hmm. New School.
I could totally see you there, honestly.
At where?
At both of those schools, FIT and the New School.
The New School application was kind of fun because they had a Parsons challenge for the, like, major that I applied to. So then I had to create, like, a second, like, digital project.
That's so cool.
Which was fun. And then I also applied to Pace. Cause,
same.
Yeah, yes. I got to visit Pace and Fordham because mm-hmm. it was 2021 when I was visiting. Oh. So a lot of schools were still not doing tours mm-hmm. because of COVID. Mm-hmm. So like New School wasn't doing tours, FIT wasn't. So Pace and Fordham were the only like actual campuses that I got to see.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I applied to those New York schools. And then I applied to Emerson in Boston, which had really awesome major that merged business and like creative endeavors, which honestly probably would have been great, but
yeah, Boston is like, I love Boston.
I know, I'm glad that I'm here though, but that would have been fun.
Yeah.
And then I applied to 2 schools in San Diego. I applied to SDSU and to Cal State San Marcos, which were basically backup schools.
Yeah.
In case I didn't want to move across the country. And luckily I committed and now I'm here.
Dude, no, yeah, like, majority of schools I applied to was, like, New York, except for Pepperdine. I applied to Pepperdine. I got in, which was, like, very surprising, because I half-assed. I half-assed that application. It was, like, something with, like, it was, like, what would you do if you're, something with, like, faith in Christianity at the school and everything.
I'm surprised Fordham didn't have a question like
I'm
that.
I'm surprised, too.
Did they? There must have been an optional one.
Probably, because, like, I know, I just remember, like, one of the, like, supplementals I had for Fordham was, like, if you were a part of this club or organization, like, what would you do? It was, like, something along that
line. That was such a process in an era. College application season is real.
I never want to see
it. I feel like it was one of the things where you're, like, oh, it can't be as bad as people say it is. Like, okay, not that it's bad, but it's definitely, like, no matter how much, it's very time consuming. No matter how much you kind of apply to yourself to it, there's still a lot of steps and processes that you have to go through.
Yeah.
Which obviously it's a big deal to like go to college.
Of course, yeah.
And have a higher education, which I'm very grateful to have.
I remember my comment app, I was like, my parents were like, you need to apply at least one Ivy. I didn't apply to any, just let everyone know. But I was like, okay, Columbia, because it's in New York City. Yes. And I saw their supplementals. It was like 7 of them. And I was like, yeah, no.
Fun fact about the Common App, my like main application was about playlists.
Really?
And it was about how...
Your personal statement?
Yes. Wow. I think that's what it was called. And it was about how... Like, I curate different playlists for, like, each of my, like, moods and different sides of me and how it expresses, like, different sides of me. But then how music has... Oh, wait, this is actually really cute and full circle. It was about how, like, music kind of has, like, always been... The last, like, sentence was something about, like, music being, like, going from the backdrop of my life to being, like, at the forefront.
Aww.
And there was, like... There was an analogy about being in the spotlight. And now I'm performing in New York.
Dude, I'm trying to, like, now you're, like, making me go back in my head and, like, remember. I think...
I'm such a nostalgia girl. Are you a nostalgia girl?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. I think my personal statement was about, a birthday card I got for my 17th birthday because that was my first birthday. 17 in
is such a great year.
I know, like, it's so
underrated. If you're 17 and you're listening to this,
like, enjoy that
year. Take your time, enjoy it, please. And have lots of fun.
It's such like a blessing, honestly.
Yeah,
but that was my first birthday in Hawaii, like, surrounded by like my new friends. Shout out to them because some of them listen to this. One is actually here at the school. She's a freshman.
Oh, but my gosh.
I like haven't, like, I've seen her.
That's what always happens. It doesn't matter if you grew up in the same hometown. If you think you're going to see someone, give it 3 to 4 business months.
Yeah.
Because even, like, me and Mia, as we mentioned, literally didn't hang out until we must have, like, we used to always see each other in the elevator and stuff.
Yes.
But then we never actually got to hang out until January or February.
It was, like, February, yeah.
Because we, crazy.
No, but she's here as a freshman, so I've only seen her, like, once or twice or whatever. And I think it was her that gave me the birthday card. So shout out to her because she got me into Fordham.
You got her in.
And it was a birthday card with like butterflies on it.
Mm-hmm.
And my whole essay was about how things look pretty on the outside. Mm-hmm. But then in the inside, it's all shaped by other people's words.
Aww.
And that's like how life is perceived. Yeah. It was like something along those lines. Yeah. And I guess it got me into schools. I thought it was bad. But then like, I don't know, I got into some good schools. But
cute. It's very nice having people from your hometown, even if you're not, like, just having that comfort and knowing that they're by you and that they're in close proximity if you ever needed to, like,
they also like kind of go through the same transition.
Exactly.
Because I know last year I was homesick.
Oh, same.
So bad.
Yeah,
it was horrible. I was like, I just miss like the spam musubi.
Oh, wow.
We need to make one night.
Like, yes,
make,
like, me and night. Speaking of hometown friends, my good pal Ava, shout out to Ava if you're listening, but Ava made spam and rice and eggs a couple times
last year.
Yes.
Stop.
It was so good.
Yes. Because like when I tell people here, like, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna go get spam, they're like, ew, spam.
I know. You really don't get it.
I don't get it. It's so good. Like, the McDonald's in Hawaii, too.
I haven't. If I have been, I've only had, like, the, like, chicken nuggets.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, their breakfast is literally, like, spam the eggs.
Let's talk about malasadas.
Stop. Was it Leonard?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh,
my gosh. It's so good.
And the shave ice. Yes. Wait, there's, like, a specific place that I would go to.
It's on North Shore.
Yes.
It starts with an M.
Oh, Matsumoto?
Yeah. But there's, like, always, like, bees over there. Like,
oh, yes. Yeah. Wow.
I'm like, dude, like, they're everywhere. Mm-hmm. Dude, making me, like, this is so bad. I want
to
go back.
Stay tuned to Mia X Mia Oahu trip.
Yes. I miss it so much.
That would be crazy because we've both been there and we know the area. Obviously, you know a little bit better than me because you lived there. But two people who have, like, been,
like, a connection to it.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
I'd be so down to go back. Definitely. Oh, yeah. But right now, we're raising awareness. Obviously, not for Oahu, but Maui.
Yes.
I'm so sad. You've been to Maui, too, right?
Only once when I was really little, or twice. But I, like, I don't remember it very well.
I went, I think, in 2021 to that town.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, so crazy because we still have, like, pictures in front of the buildings. And now it's, like, all gone.
Ugh.
So, guys, if you're listening, please go raise awareness.
Yes.
Raise awareness for it because they need it.
Yes.
And also, there's, like, tourists going there now.
That's literally insane.
Like, it's, like...
Yeah.
It's crazy, but, yeah. Nah.
Yeah.
But, Miss Mia,
mm-hmm.
before we end off on your music and then we talk more about social media... Tell us about any, like, upcoming shows or projects.
Yes.
Yay!
So, I never thought I'd be the girl who's like, so I'm working on a secret project right now. But I am working on my next music project, which I'm super, super excited for.
Yay!
I was recording some of it yesterday with my producer, who's so talented, and I'm so grateful for him. He's amazing.
Yay.
But we just started a new song yesterday, and I'm super excited to not only keep making this little project, but also for everybody here, because it's definitely, it's much, like, it's very gratifying that each, like, song that I make feels closer and closer to, like, my, I mean, I'm just, like, finding my sonic identity and, like, what my sound is, which is just, it's fun to explore, but I'm really excited. Like, I've only begun to record two of five songs off the next project, but I'm really excited, and I feel like it will definitely show, like, music-wise, it will show people a lot more of my brain,
Yeah.
and it's allowing me to achieve sounds that I've been wanting to achieve. So that's in the works. And then I'm always planning shows. So just stay plugged on my socials. Did you see that transition there? Mia Lorelai everywhere.
Guys, go follow her.
Oh yeah. Follow Project Six Pod.
Yeah, go follow her too. So, now that we're like going more into like the future with like your projects and stuff like that, where do you see yourself in the future with like your music?
Well, I'd love to. I mean, it would be a dream, and I'd be eternally grateful to get to pursue something that I am so passionate about and that like fuels me so much. It'd be awesome to be able to like do that as a more serious career. It's something that I'm so down for, and I mean, I'll be making music no matter what I'm pursuing like simultaneously, but it's nice that I'm also like obviously I'm studying new media digital design, so I'm doing a lot of
Same.
I'm doing lots of graphic stuff, which like easily goes hand in hand with like my music. And I've been super interested in graphic design also since like a very relatively young age. And then again, the marketing side of it, I'm like still super
Wait, is your
interested
concentration commerce as well? What's your
for
for new media and digital design?
I think mine is
Is it the
just
art,
the
text,
yeah
and
the
design?
art text one.
Oh, I think I'm gonna do commerce probably.
Love. But yeah, I
Okay,
might minor
continue.
in marketing. Could be interesting because the 1 week in Gabelli that I did enjoy was when we did marketing, and I was like, see, this makes sense because this is why I came to this school.
Wait,
But
so when you minor in marketing, well, so that means that your stuff will count from freshman year or like
couldn't tell
no?
you. I don't really know how that works, but
Oh my God. Or you can minor in, do they have music?
yeah, but I was talking to somebody again last night. Guys, I met some really awesome music people last night, so I was having some interesting conversations regarding even social media. We're talking a lot about that. But one girl that I was talking to, we were mentioning literally what were we just talking about? What was I just talking about?
Talking about music minor.
Oh, okay. So the girl that I was talking to, she went to Berklee College of Music in
Oh,
Boston,
wow.
and obviously that's like obviously you're there to study music. And then I was asking her, well, I was saying how a lot of people will ask me like if I'm studying music, and I'm always like, no, like why would I be studying music? Which I've taken like a music history class, which was super interesting, but it was more just like for the requirement, like
Oh,
core,
the,
because it filled something out. But I try to not like, it's nice to learn about things, but to make it kind of like a pri like a academic like
And then you have to get
assignment,
like
and then
judged
turning
and
it into like
graded.
obligations. I'm just like always afraid of something like making music and something into something that I feel that I have to do, because then I don't want to get like burnt out or tired of it, or like shift my dynamic in the way that I interact with it. But I still am like super interested in taking like that music history class was really interesting because it's different than like if I were to take a class on like making music, I guess. I don't even know if Fordham has any of classes. But yeah.
That's really interesting because I was like looking the same way with dance. Because do you remember? Wait, no, you were like Gabelli. So like I like orientation. They made us like go in the law school and do like this whole thing and like see like academic things we would like want to do. And like the director of the dance program, I told him, I was like, yeah, I did like competitive dance for like all my childhood. And he was like, are you a dance like major? I was like, no, I'm like doing nothing with dance. And he was like, just minor at it. And I thought about it for a really
Would
long
it be
time.
through Ailey or no?
I think it would be. Yeah, which is like interesting because I'm like, that's a whole like program thing. And I thought about it for a really long time, but I realized I was like, wait, no, like I do not want to be judged on
something that you're like very
Yeah,
passionate about
something
and you
that I was
enjoy
passionate
doing.
about and I enjoyed
Yeah.
and everything, because I did dance in like high school, and my high school was like, not to brag, but like they were like county champions. Like they were
Yeah,
like so good,
as
and
they
like
should be.
yeah, and like all the kids in the class were like studio kids as well. So we were like
Yeah,
all pretty good
yeah,
by the time we were like 15, 16 years
yeah.
old. And like I loved my dance teacher, but I just didn't love the idea of like it was an obligation to like go to dance and
Yeah.
like do this and do that perfectly in order to get an A in the class, which like got an A, but it's like it takes a toll on you sometimes.
Yeah.
And I was actually talking to a girl about this today too, because she asked me, she was like, "Oh, are you like an Ailey?" And I was like, "No, no, no offense to the Ailey people,
No,
okay? Because you guys
yeah.
work so hard. I'm not gonna lie, they work
Yeah.
so hard." But what was it? Yeah, like, ooh. Oh, I was saying how like when I would go to dance competitions, it's different when you're getting judged by a stranger, but when you're getting judged by a
Yeah.
professor every day. Like, I
Yeah.
know they have this one Russian ballet teacher, and I had a Russian ballet teacher growing up, and I'll never forget when I was 12. And
See, you've never forgotten.
exactly when like the teacher was saying things about like I shouldn't be eating hamburgers at 12.
Oh, yeah,
I'm like
let's
in
not.
sixth grade, sixth,
Let's
seventh grade. Yeah.
not.
And I remember we would go to like dance conventions like in Florida and all
Yeah.
that, like Orlando. I think it was like Orlando, I don't
Yeah.
remember. And like there would just be people there who were just like the rudest, sickest people ever.
The dance world is
It's
crazy.
crazy. Like, guys, if you guys watch Dance Moms, like that was my life, but without the cameras. Like,
Dance Moms
I
was my
literally
life, except just because I loved watching it. But also, I grew up dancing from like the ages of like 4 to 8. So I
Yeah.
luckily it wasn't ever serious enough to for me to have traumatic experiences. But I did miss it when I stopped going.
Yeah, like I stopped doing it when
I'm an
I
inner
moved out.
dancer in my heart.
You
There's a
inner
little tiny dancer
dancer.
in there.
Like I stopped dancing when I was 16 because I moved to Hawaii around that time, like literally right after like my 16th birthday. And so when I got there, my dance teacher, she would like text my mom. She'd be like, "Have you found a studio for her yet or anything?" And then I was just like, I don't want to do dance anymore, because I was also kind of like so attached to my studio because I grew up with them, and I was like, I don't see myself going to another studio, especially with people I don't know. And like,
And since it's, well, I'm gonna assume a little bit because I'm not sure, you could correct me if I'm wrong. Is it like a little bit clicky too, like
yes,
on
dance is
teams? Okay,
clicking.
yeah.
You are
So
like
then
right on
you'd so
point with
you'd have
that.
to like enter into a new
Yeah,
environment
at
where people already,
16.
yeah.
Yeah. Whereas like I knew those girls since I was in fourth
Yeah.
grade and they were like in fifth grade, and then I'm
Yeah.
going into more like juniors or like sophomores in high
So you
school.
did end up going doing
No, I
something, or you didn't?
didn't. I
Okay.
didn't. I like ended up doing cheer because I like stalked my school's like Instagram, like my new high school. Shout out to like Lelehua, I guess. And I found like this one girl. We're still friends, and then she somehow she was on the cheer team, and I didn't even know. And then she was like, "I noticed you did cheer.
Oh my gosh.
Like come join." So then I joined, and then she ended up being captain, and she also ended up being the president of like our student body.
Okay.
So like she goes to UC Irvine now for engineering. Shout out to
Fun.
her.
Okay.
But
Miss Well-rounded.
yeah. But yeah, I just think it's like funny because like you talk about you don't want to like do it as a minor for like academic
It
purposes,
feels
and
like very like I'm very protective of it,
yeah.
especially since right now I have such a good relationship with music in the way that I interact with it and work. Well, aside from, well, honestly, at the present moment, I'm like lucky to have, I'm feeling really good about music
Yeah.
and like my friends that I'm making. Over the summer, I had a lot of imposter syndrome, and it
Oh.
didn't help that I wasn't in like the environment surrounded by like my friends who do music. It was like everybody was online. I was
Yeah.
only comparing myself to
Oh.
like
All those things
the awesome
online.
music that they were putting out, which obviously I know that like I still have things to contribute in
Yeah.
that area, but just like still I was like so intimidated by like all my friends putting out all this awesome work, and I was like, how, what is, this is crazy.
Wait, so majority of your friends back at home do music as
No, no, no.
well?
My
Oh.
friends like that I started making here.
Oh,
Yes.
cute.
Which I love them all. Shout out. But Yeah, it was nice to kind of not be around music people, because then I could
Yeah.
focus on my own stuff without like looking at it. Because I am like pretty good at like not comparing myself, but since I was
Yeah.
like in the thick of it, doing like my music video and then doing like drafts for my next project, then it didn't help that I was in California for so long that I was like, I need the New York like side of Mia to be here right now. So then, yeah, that was a journey, but now I'm here and happy and
Yay.
grateful to be alive.
Yay. Okay, so Miss Mia, since we're talking about social media now, so we're gonna be talking about TikTok especially, but also like Instagram, everything
Yes,
else,
all of the
and
above.
all of them. Even MySpace,
Bring
guys,
it, we're bringing it back.
I'm
This
kidding.
is actually an announcement episode.
MySpace is coming back.
Yeah.
Boop
Zuckerberg sent us to be
boop.
the
We're like his like
promoters.
bots, you know, like those pigeons with
Oh,
like the bourgeois, what is it
the
called? The bourgeoisie?
bourgeoisie, please.
We're those right now. So we're gonna talk about TikTok and how like the need to like fit into a certain aesthetic or a certain like criteria, you
Yes,
know?
I was talking with a lot of, not to keep mentioning this, but I had great conversations with fellow musicians about TikTok last night. And it's definitely a love-hate relationship. On the one hand, obviously, it's a great platform for exposing any sort of anything to new people because of like the concept of a For You page and the algorithm that it has that will push your stuff out to anybody anywhere in the world, which like obviously like music-wise for exposure, that's like awesome and expanding your demographic and stuff. But then on the other hand, with the algorithm, it's really hard. Well, okay, it's hard, but it's also really easy, question mark. It's complicated to like, you have to post every day, but then like you have to follow the trends, but then put your own twist on it, but then, and it's a lot. And I kind of, with my first EP, felt like I had some sort of like artist quota to fill, where it's like, well, it's such a great platform that it feels like if I'm not taking advantage of it, it's like, well, am I even taking music seriously if I'm not utilizing this? But at the same time, I'm like, well, I'm not authentically posting on it. So then, is that also like not a good thing to be doing? So then it was like this huge dilemma that I still face today. Right now, I'm kind of at a spot where I will just post for fun when I feel like it, because it really d turned into like a not great space to for me, at least like posting wise. So now I'm trying to make it more fun. But in regards to like trends and stuff, it's nice in the sense that you really could have any niche and there will be thousands of hundreds of people like also like right there with you, which is like so funny. And I love the trends that are like me when I've never had an original thought ever. Like it can be comforting, but also my individuality complex is like, what do you mean I'm not the only person who's ever
Exactly.
experienced this?
I'm like, wait, pause. Like, I thought it was just me,
Yeah,
like,
I thought I
experiencing
was
that.
just a girl. I was the only living girl in New York. But we talked last time a lot about like the core trend and core. And it
Dude,
started out silly, cute, and fun until all of a sudden everybody has to label everything into a box and into a category. And I think it's put pressure on people to, at first it's nice for people who are obviously trying to develop, for example, like if your fashion sense and then you see something that you like and then you want to know more about it, or like you can look up whatever fairy core or like
Or
cottage
cottage
core and you'll be like, oh, these are also cute ways that I can style this outfit. But then this is like kind of related, but it's reminding me like today I've seen multiple videos of like people recommending creativity books,
Oh, what's that?
just like any books on like creativity or like artists, and they're like this was like my favorite book ever that helped me, like for example, like a musician is recommending some like artist book. And then I was thinking about it and it reminds me of like the core trends in the sense where it's like, I mean, I'm sure they're great books, but it also feels like it could be kind of just another thing that's telling you how to fit into like a box, as opposed to like, I believe there's a book called The Artist's Way, which I've heard great things about. But I was thinking about, my initial reaction was kind of like, well, like, how are you going to have a book on creativity when like my own approach to creativity could is like, that's my artist way, is like just however I already go about it. And I'm sure it has like great tips on like getting over creative blocks and stuff.
Or
but
trying to like be individualistic.
I was thinking about like centuries ago, like people weren't walking around like reading how does Pablo Picasso paint his paintings. They were just like doing, well, I'm sure there's people who like copied him, but
wait, when did Picasso die? 70s,
couldn't
right?
tell you. Sorry, Maddie, if you're listening. My roommate is an art history major, and Maddie! she could tell you.
Sorry,
I couldn't
Maddie.
Tell you.
I get Van Gogh and Picasso mixed up. I'm so sorry. I know one cut his ear off or shot his ear off.
Van Gogh cut his ear off?
Okay.
I can tell you that much.
Picasso was the one, like, with the paintings, the self-portraits kind of, like, diminished over years.
I believe so.
I know that, because I took AP Art History, okay?
Okay.
So I know that much.
But anyway, I was thinking, I was like, they didn't have a book that was like, this is, you should, rule number one, cut your ear off. Like, that's not what they were doing, you know?
Cut your ear off, guys.
So, it feels like people are trying to, with the internet making things so accessible, it feels like people have to know everything as opposed to learning it themselves and figuring it out themselves. Not to say that people are lazy. I'm lazy. But in the sense of like figuring themselves out, even, everybody just is like trying to find shortcuts, it feels like, because things are so easy to just Google search, or now with, don't even get me started on ChatGPT.
My teachers are like lenient with it.
Each of my teachers have different like opinions on it. It's interesting. Somebody actually asked me, I was at one of my mom's work events, and one of her coworkers like asked me my opinion on AI, which is interesting because he wanted to know like from my younger perspective. I was like, I have a bone to pick with AI. On one hand, like Siri is AI, and love Siri. She's my girl, you know. And even
mine has a British accent.
Oh, my mom's has a British accent, and she made it call her love, so it goes, okay, love.
That's so
it's
cute.
It's so funny. Anyway, and then even things like autocorrect, we don't realize they're like, oh, that's also technically AI, but that's like perfectly acceptable.
Like spell check, like Grammarly type
things. The main thing that like popped up into my head when he asked me was people making it using like the AI filter generators and people's like making
fun. Okay.
And then it reminds me of like NFTs and that world is like,
weren't they like selling for like millions?
But I don't even fully understand the NFT world, and I have no desire to. No. Maybe I can't help it. I'm raised as a save analog girl, shooting film and spinning records. So maybe I just can't understand. But if it's not physically, okay, this is actually kind of hypocritical of me to say, because I was gonna say if it's not physically there, but music is completely invisible and people pay money for it. But I think AI can be useful. I think people are, I've been hearing a lot of productive things about ways that it can be used as kind of like reference guides, or like, I know people use it a lot as like help to write more professional emails without, like when it comes to academic papers, it's like, you're going to school to learn.
Yeah.
You can do that yourself.
That's like the thing that I'm like, okay, guys, like, you don't need to use it for that. Like, my teachers, oh, wait, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
My teachers are, like, with AI, they're saying, like, you can use it to, like, help, like, with references and everything, but also, like, double check. But also, don't write your whole paper on it or whatever.
One of my history teacher was talking about it today, and he was mentioning how it can be really useful, because it's awesome for doing, like, the step-by-step things. So, if, like, you didn't know how to use, like, I don't know, like, you got a really new high-tech computer, and you're like, I don't know how to set this up, and then you, like,
step-by-step.
Things like that. But I don't know, I have mixed feelings about it. I also think it could be something, like, when the calculator first came out, and people are like, what do you mean we're gonna have computers walking around with computers in our hands? Like, I feel like it's gonna be something like that, which it technically already is. Like, AI already is built into
our phones,
our everyday lives. But I think in my experience it has a negative connotation.
I agree with you 100% about AI. then, like, because you had Miss Butler for your teacher,
yes,
right? And so she was like very leading you guys about AI too.
Yes.
Yeah. So I feel like in design, that's like, I don't know. I'm like 50-50 with that. I feel like because design is like original and your own thing.
Yeah.
You know? But then it's also like it could help you, just like almost academic papers.
Yeah.
So like, how do you feel about that?
I think it's hard coming from somebody, or hello, being somebody who, like, I can't imagine. I mean, I can understand it as like a creative exercise, but in like utilizing, I think it just depends how you do it.
Yeah.
Because if you're utilizing it in a way where it's less of like it's doing the heavy lifting and more of you're strategically doing it in hopes of creating some sort of outcome, I think is interesting when people can do stuff like that, because then that is like you doing a lot of like, oh, what words can I use to describe
I guess jumped off the bed above us or something.
Like if you're trying to figure out what words to describe like some sort of painting that you're trying to create, like I think that could possibly be cool, but again, I'm such a, like, an analog girl that I can't personally imagine doing that, because it just feels inauthentic, because it's, even if it's coming from you, it's not, because there's a third party involved. I don't know.
That's also a thing, too. Like, even though, like, Ms. Butler was like, yeah, we can, like, use it as a reference, I just, like, refuse to use it. Like,
it's very distant and feels out of reach for me personally.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of hard to wrap my head around it, which is probably one of the reasons why I reject it so easily, is because I'm like, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. That's my take.
I 100% agree with you. Every time someone says that, I think of, like, you know, the monkey
emoji? Yes, monkey covering eyes emoji.
Oh my gosh. So we're going to talk more. Oh yeah, we can, like, also talk a little bit more about, like, how the molding and, like, how it's, like, accessible to, like, vulnerable people and impressionable people, because, like, it makes me think of, you know, that clean girl aesthetic?
Yes.
Like, everyone was kind of, like, wearing, like, slick back buns, and, like, obviously, well, we're both wearing, like, gold hoop right now, too, but, like, it just makes me think of that, or, like, just, like, certain aesthetics for, like, girls to fit into, and I feel like it makes some people so vulnerable to it, because it's, like, oh, if you don't fit into one aesthetic, then you're, like you're not the cool kids, you know, in quotations. But, like, what's your take on that, too?
I mean, yeah, it's kind of goes along with the core thing again.
Yeah.
It's, like, you have to fit into this box, and then it boxes you in, but it also could box other people out, but you could also be the one boxed out while also, I don't know. It's, like, just we talked a lot about labels, and it's just, like, people are very attached to
labeling themselves.
That's also, I feel like people like to categorize things these days, because it makes it feel more in control in the palm of their hand when it's something very unpredictable, like trend, or especially on TikTok, since there's new trends every week.
Then,
okay, so if you're on the trend, like, you could be, clean girl said it could be the thing of the week, and you're like, awesome, let me overconsume and buy all these products on Amazon. Then the next week, what do you know?
It was like the old money aesthetic.
I don't even
like, but it's similar, but
it's,
like, people,
it's just, not to get too political, but
old money families are, like, not get, the best people to model yourself after,
but
you guys
well, not to get too political, but it TikTok in itself just can promote a lot of overconsumption of everything, music included.
Yeah,
like, the music industry is very saturated right now. I'm very aware of that, and I've had dilemmas about that too. But I don't know, we all just need to take a deep breath and slow down. And the trends kind of can be fun, but also they reinforce, like, consuming things before they're outdated.
100%.
And since things move so rapidly, then things become more outdated quickly, and then everybody is over consuming. And then with the boxes, people don't know who they are, because they only know themselves by an aesthetic.
Yes.
That was really good.
Thanks.
It just reminds me of fast fashion too. Like it's just overconsumption.
Yes.
It's like fast fashion, but like digital.
This guys, let me give you a rundown of my outfit right now. This sweater is my dad's.
Oh, cute.
From like the 90s.
Stop, that's really cute.
These shorts are from El Terrain Vintage.
Wait, let me see.
These are my dream shorts. Those are cute. Had been waiting for like oversized baggy shorts.
Mm-hmm.
I've been waiting for my dream pair. And then earlier this year, I was at El Terrain, my first and only time that I've been to El Terrain. And honestly, the pick there wasn't so hot, except this pair of shorts was sticking out. And there's a little star on the side.
Stop, that's so cute.
And if you know, you know. I'm a little star girl. Aww. Okay. And they were only $8. And it was great. Anyway, not to be like the girl who's like, oh, what do you mean that skirt isn't thrifted? Like, everything in moderation is, you know what they say about moderation. But
true. That's what I try to do with thrifting now too. Like, I have a rule that if I go thrifting, I need to donate something.
Yeah.
So that's why I have my donation box. So if you want to bring something,
oh my gosh,
you can donate.
One of my design projects for the class that you're in, I think it was like the last project or something, and we had to create, I think, an app or some sort of anything.
App?
No, like just like an idea of like
so you guys
something.
Are coding out here?
No. We had to like conceptualize an app or some sort of like something. And mine was like, it kind of was like Depop, but for college students, because I had so many friends who were all constantly like borrowing clothes from each other. And especially in the freshman dorms, it was a little bit harder because it was just like, you know, just the two roommates, two rooms. So you weren't like sharing an apartment with five girls like I am right now. But how we all are on a college budget, but then we all want new clothes, but then we also, sometimes you're like going out and you're like, wait, I really wish I had a black turtleneck.
Yeah.
And basically it was like an app where you could like borrow things from people on your campus.
Wait, that's really cool.
So then it's like sustainable, but also useful because you're saving money. But
I like that.
Yeah.
guys, I'm
trademarked it. Don't steal my idea.
Like a belly and you, it's like coming out with like ground floor. Didn't you guys have to do that with like companies and stuff like that?
Oh, wow. Yeah, we did have to do that. I like to not think about that.
Wait, what was yours? I'm curious.
Mine,
now.
Like the one that we made, it was, oh my gosh, it was called, it's on the tip of my tongue. It was something about, it was like connecting teenagers to their culture.
Oh, cute.
But not in a, like, it was shifting the focus from like, focusing on history. Like, obviously history is important and valuable, but it was connecting kids more with like what's happening in modern time in their culture and like how it's celebrated and like where their culture is within their city. I believe it's something along those lines of just like connecting people to their culture, because it feels like our generation is kind of becoming less attached to our culture. And it's more like the generation or the generation above that's like super tied to, and obviously there's a bunch of factors that tie into that, but that's the general idea.
That's a good thing, honestly, because like I want to have a future podcast to talk about it. Maybe you want to be on that one. Actually,
would love to.
We can actually talk about that.
Would love to,
because I want you back, obviously. So
I'd love to be back.
So our last topic for tonight, we're going to end on a really good note, is how does social media help people / change lives, and how do you think it could help you?
Yes. So I want to tell a quick little story, because this is the first thing that came to mind. One of my friends from home, but also one of my first internet friends, is my good friend Jaden. Her Instagram's Jaden Haley. Go follow her. But this is kind of a tie into putting things into the universe and working hard to get what you want also. Mm-hmm. And she was like one of the first people that I talked about, like just like working hard towards things and putting it out there without getting attached to it, and just trusting that, putting in the hard work. And obviously there's loaded privileges behind that too, which I'm well aware of. We could have a whole podcast episode
honestly,
on that.
Really,
but moral of the story is that she now does social media as like her main job, and I've known her since she started like doing that, and so it's so awesome. And she just like moved to LA and she has her own apartment and gets invited to all these amazing events. So I've firsthand seen how it changed her life. And then another one of my internet friends also, like, we met through her like fan account that she had for an actor, and then now she just got an internship at the Today Show. Like, she's like fully in her journalism career. So it's really awesome how social media can work in that way. And then obviously I met both of them through social media. Mm-hmm. So that is like the connection aspect, especially of people so far away, and how you can cultivate those relationships is awesome. I used to have an interview page based around this idea where I would interview like my friends or upcoming artists, so that in hopes of other people finding like new internet best friends. And then it really can change people's lives, but it's nice to have a balance of like having that like social media network, if you will, while also maintaining like one foot in the quote-unquote real world, if you will. And kind of having the balance between, like, if the internet exploded, I would still have like an identity outside of social media. But it's fun to explore both. Social media can be super fun, and it's a fun thing for me, and I hope that everyone can. I think that everyone, let's make it a goal. Make social media fun 2023.
It's fun again, guys. Like, let's just, like, post, like,
pursue, on the ground again. Pursue your passions. And
don't care what other people think. Please. That's, like, a big thing, too. Like, just do what you want to do.
Yes.
And be happy. And
reach out to an internet friend, and you'll be like me and Mia. And maybe you'll be sitting on the floor of your little apartment recording a podcast.
Getting together. Yay. For like the second time.
It's okay. That's okay.
Yay. No, yeah. I love social. I do love social media. Yes. Like, I want to work not like as like social media marketing, but like digital marketing, but obviously social media.
It's really prevalent right now. Yeah.
And so I love the whole like that side of it, but also like the recreational use of it, and just like posting. Like, dude, I kid you not, like, I think it was like in high school, I used to like heavily like curate like my photos and be like, this has to look good.
I still do that.
No, you still do that.
But I enjoy it. That's the thing. I like, well, so for a lot of it, it's like when I do have like songs coming out, I will have the posts planned like months in advance. That's like I guess that's different.
Yeah.
Because it's from like a marketing, like marketing having my strategy, posts ready type thing. But I'm a proud girl who still loves when her feed looks good.
Sure. Like, when I need to like look at it and be like,
you guys act like it was a trend that ended in 2016. No. I'm still here. I'm living proof. No. And I live to tell the tale.
I love it. And I also do love how like a lot of people now too, because you remember how like when Instagram first came out, people would just like post like casual things. I love how like that whole vibe is coming back too.
Yes.
I'm like, it's so cute.
Yeah.
Like, or like this one girl, this is like also ties into like the whole like fit into like a categorizing yourself on social media. But this one girl, she was like, I'm posting like I'm like a Nepo baby.
I saw one of those videos.
And I'm like, it's so funny because it's like, it's cute, you know? Like, it's harmless.
Yes. That's how I feel. We love when social media can be fun and harmless.
Yeah.
For such a sometimes daunting and detrimental thing.
I completely 100% agree with you. But overall, social media does have its pros and its cons.
I mean, that's how most people find out about your podcast, right?
Oh my God, yeah, guys.
Yeah.
She has a little TikTok now, too. I made a TikTok.
Oh my gosh, yay!
I want to like advertise and stuff like on there too.
We love a multimedia cross-platform.
Dude, my first video, like, it was like,
wait, I think I follow it.
You do?
Or maybe I think I'm thinking of your, when you used to post clips of your blogs. Wait, like, I'm confusing it.
I just like made it, and like the first video got like, it's like a 1,000 or something like that.
Okay. Right
now. And I'm like, I was not expecting, like, I would just refresh and it'll be like 600.
Oh my gosh. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Like, okay, cool.
But hello, if you're from TikTok.
No, hello guys. But hopefully I'll be like posting more on there, and then like more like marketing things too, because yes. I'm interested in marketing yeah. as well. So I'm doing more of that like on my own research, you mm-hmm. know, because I refuse to be in Gabelli. Like, I actually thought about it for a second too, but I was like,
I can teach you.
Okay, like you can be like my little like marketing coach.
Oh something. Yeah. So. I've done work for people for their social media.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, well, you're going to help me.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to help me. But, yeah, so I really want to do more of that. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, hopefully social media will, like, help.
Yeah, and, it definitely will. Yeah. It's a great tool that's yes. at our fingertips that can be taken advantage of for good and bad ways.
Yes. Well, our podcast has been, like an hour.
Shout
like
out to you. If you've made it to this yeah. point, you're a real one.
You made it to the end. Go for you, honestly. But I want to thank Miss Mia for coming.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so happy you came. Yay. And like, I can't wait to have you back.
Yes.
And yeah, I'm so excited for like your music.
I'm actually, you don't understand how excited I am. I'm so excited.
Yay. I'm so happy. So thank you so much for coming. Do you want to plug your socials again?
Yes. Everywhere. Find me anywhere and everywhere. Mia Lorelei on music, except for TikTok. Everywhere except for TikTok. My TikTok is Mag Barbie, which is a misinterpretation of my last name from preschool.
Aww. So Wait, people say that in preschool?
One of my best friends in preschool called me Mag Barbie. And so I was like, that's a funny, silly name. So... But if you look up Mia Lorelei, it will also show up. So, Mia Lorelei, everywhere and anywhere.
Yay.
And there's always fun things on the horizon. I'm constantly making stuff and sharing it because I like to see what other people share too. So,
yay. Yeah. And then my socials is Mia Mare on both TikTok and social media. And then my podcast, Project 6 Pod, both on TikTok. I say social media. Both. Okay. Mia Mare on TikTok and Instagram. And then yes. Project 6 Pod on TikTok and Instagram.
Go follow
all four if you want. Like, but mm-hmm. mainly the podcast. And you will have more updates. And yeah, more about the podcast, guys.
Yay!
So, thank you. And I will see you guys next week.
See you.
Bye.